Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth broadcast coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fon Miller, speaker on the broadcast, delighted you have taken the time to tune our way. I want to give you our email address, and then it'll be given again at the end of the broadcast. Or make sure you can get it, and that is WOT, standing for Way of Truth, WOT at WOTBM, that stands for Baptist Mission, .org. And that's where you can get up with us and just make note, Message of Truth. We'll get to you. And also, at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you the mailing address as well as the email. But we want to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to be over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to launch out from actually verse 17 and following. There's a couple of things we want to look at with this matter of serving the Lord from our hearts. Serving the Lord from our hearts. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege it's ours to share the gospel of Christ, to share the message of growth that we're trying to deal with here, how we can serve the Lord from the depths of our hearts, and how we can be faithful to thee and be a testimony of thy wonderful grace. Now, Lord, we want to thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the life we have in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for each one of these folk who are listening, many of them possibly facing some real dire situations or times of struggles in their lives. I pray that you'll minister to them in such a way that they'll know the hand of the Lord has been upon them. Then there are those who are seeing victories, and they're seeing that mountaintop experience. They're enjoying the blessings of thee. Help them just to continue thanking you and praising you and praying for their brethren who are going through many of the trials and testings. Lord, you know the need of each heart and life. Some need to be saved today, and I pray that they might come to know thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Walking in the blessed light of Jesus' love, walking every hour, walking every day, walking in the strength he gives us from above, walking with Jesus alone. Walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way, walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone. Savior, keep me walking in the narrow way, walking every hour, walking every day. Save me from the tempter's fiery darts today. Save me, O Jesus, I pray. Walking in the sunlight, walking in the shadows, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking in the sunlight, walking in the shadows, walking with Jesus alone. Walking by the river on the golden shore, walking every hour, walking every day, walking in the Savior's presence evermore, walking with Jesus at home. Walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone. Walking with Jesus alone.
Well, amen. Walking with Jesus alone. And you know that comes by reading the Word, by hearing the Word, by praying and seeking His face for His direction, His guidance. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we know we looked at verse 16. Something had come to my mind, and I might just bring it up here. You know, we come through the time of Christmas, and we think of the babe lying in a manger. But you know, there's a thought in my mind. I believe I may have seen a picture to this effect, and I'm not sure, but at least it's in my mind, that when we look at that babe in the manger, that in the background, there is the cross where he's going to head to. He was not, and he is not, the babe in the manger. He is the one who came and died for our sin and is now seated at the right hand of the Father on high. He is the one who came into this world and for 33 years lived an exemplary and a perfect life, the last 3 years in ministry, and did all kinds of miracles and so forth. But he didn't come for all of that. He came to point men's hearts to God Almighty and to the salvation that God had provided through his Son. So therefore, when men, just like the Apostle Paul, got saved, and there you read it in chapter 9 of Acts, how he was going out to kill Christians, to hail them, put them in jail, whatever he could do against this way, this message of Christ. He wanted to eliminate it. And he set out to do that, and God arrested his attention there on the road to Damascus. And in chapter 9, he comes to know the Lord as his personal Savior. And the story, we could go on and show how God worked in his life. But what I want you to see is verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Paul was a new creature. He came from being the persecutor to Saul of Tarsus. He became Paul the persecuted, because the very ones that he worked for in order to get Christians and put them in prison or have them executed, whatever the case, the same ones as he consented to Stephen's death there in chapter 7 and 8 of Acts. Well, at 7 he dies, and then of course, you have the account in what happened with the believers being scattered in chapter 8. But simply, his life changed from that to the one who sought to reach people for Christ and comfort and encourage those who had believed. But he was a new creature. And then it goes on and says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, we have spoken about that in previous broadcasts. We're not going to go back there right now. But go on with me, verse 18. In verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Paul is emphasizing the fact that the only way we get right with God is through Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace through faith is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world, John 3:16, "that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is repeated by Peter in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." And then he says, he's reconciled us to God by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the area I want to talk to you about just a little bit. You see, when we got saved, when God saved you, if you're born again right now, God saved you to serve him. He wants you to be faithful in serving him. There are many capacities, and I'm not going to tell you what he's called you to, or how he's called you to serve. He's called you to serve him, whatever area that may be. Now, he says here that we are given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, he says that in general to these Christians at Corinth. And if you read about these Christians at Corinth, they're loaded with problems. They've had many problems they've come out of. Many of them had come out of some all kind of wickedness when they got saved. That was wonderful. But now as Christians, some of them were bickering with each other about many different things. And so Paul relates to them that, hey, wait a minute, you don't have time for bickering with each other. God's given you a ministry. And, you know, I'd say the same thing to you and to myself. God's given us a ministry. It's not time to bicker about this or that or the other thing. I think we need to take a stand upon the authority of the Word of God. I do not believe in compromise in that, but I think we need to get ourselves right in the mindset that God's called me to serve. Now notice in verse 19, "to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself." Now get this into your mind. God was reconciling the world to himself. He wanted this world to be redeemed. You see, he gave Noah 125 years to preach that God's judgment would come. but people didn't hear. And so it was Noah and his family, eight people, that were saved by the ark. The rest of the people drowned. Now, the point is, God is long-suffering. Yet he knows. He knew exactly the day that he was going to have Noah go into that ark, close the door, and it was shut for all eternity, really. It was shut until the flood was done, and everything's there. Then God opened the door and allowed Noah and the family and all the animals and birds and whatever to come out of the ark. But you see, beloved, God's got a divine timing. Right now, he's got a divine timing. Jesus Christ is going to come back one of these days. I don't know when. There's no indication in Scripture exactly when. We know situations will come around, and yet we see some of those, and he hasn't come yet. He's not waiting for anything. That day has been settled, just as the day of when Christ would be born was already set in eternity past. God has the day set when his Son will come back and call all of us who have been born again, and we make up that body of Christ, which is called the church. He's going to take us off of this earth. So here's what Paul is saying, that he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. Then he says that he is imputed, he said here, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. In other words, the way is paved. There's nothing needed to be added, and nor can be added, to get you or I right with God. On September 6, 1961, I realized I was a lost sinner on my way to hell, and it was at that point I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not understanding it, but believing that he had died on that cross, shed his blood for the covering of my sin, and I invited the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me of all my sin. And, you know, I'll tell you, I'll never forget Pastor Fern Reed, who led me to Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord today, and I thank him many, 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 many times for that. He led me to Jesus Christ, and my life took on new direction. Now, Paul said he was reconciling the world to himself by Jesus Christ, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Do you realize that God is not going to lay your sin, your trespasses, on your shoulders now that you've called upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? They're forgiven. They're forgotten. They're in the past. You see, and because of that, because I'm not saddled down and tied down with my transgressions and my sins, he has now given to me the word of reconciliation. If you notice something, he gave us the ministry in verse 18. Well, how do you do that ministry? Well, he gave us the word of reconciliation. What is the word of reconciliation? It is the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Why? For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now he says in verse 20, since God's called me to the ministry of reconciliation, he's given me the word, that's the tools I need to do this work of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In other words, now it's my job to reconcile myself to this which God has called me to. He's given me the word. He's given me the ministry. So there should be no problem with me going about doing the work, except my heart is divided. I want to resist that. Beloved, God is looking for people who realize he has given us this call. He has opened the door for us to be faithful servants of his. But it is a matter of whether or not we're willing to do that. In verse 18, God who hath reconciled us to himself. He bought us back to himself. He has given us, then, in verse 18, the ministry of reconciliation. And that reconciliation that we have in the first part of verse 18 is again reiterated in verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God's plan and purpose was that you and I would be born again. He'd reconcile us to himself. He created us. We are his. And then we turned and went astray, and now he's bringing us back to himself through Jesus Christ. And then he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see, we're to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so many other portions of Scripture that tell us how we ought to be students of the Word of God. And then he says in verse 20 that we're ambassadors for Christ. And he says, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In other words, reconcile yourself to be his servant. Why? He's paid the price. He's called you. Or I should say, he's paid the price. He saved you. He called you. He's given you the tools. That's the Word of God. Verse 21 says, for he hath made him, now this is talking about Christ, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's how come I can do the work of reconciliation, do the ministry. I can't reconcile anybody, but I can take the word of God and help men and women, boys and girls, see their need of a Savior, that Jesus Christ would reconcile them to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's listen to a song and then we'll continue on with the message. That's an old song that I haven't heard for a good while. What a blessing that is, abide with me. You see, that's what it's all about. The Lord abiding with us. Now, we concluded right before that song, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God hath made him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's how you and I can serve God acceptably. You see, in fact, in verse 1 of chapter 6 says, we then, as workers together with him, with Christ, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, get busy, do something. You've received the grace of God. God expects you to be faithful to Him. Now, we're going to give you a couple of different things to think about. I'll give you references. I'll not turn back to those references simply because of time's sake. But I want you to look at some things with regard to the work of God and how He wants us to serve Him. As I made mention, Paul had a burden for the people that he worked, that he ministered to. Romans chapters 9, 1 through 3, and 10, 1 and 2. Paul is saying that his heart's burden for these people at Rome, and of course for all believers, is that he could wish himself accursed so that the Jews would come to know Christ. And he's trying to lay that burden upon the hearts of the Romans. You see, it's not enough that you and I be saved, but we ought to be praying for the salvation. You remember the scripture says we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We ought to be praying that God would, through many different kinds of ministries, reach many Jewish people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's from the Jews the Savior came. It's from the Jews we have the scriptures and so many other things that we relate to you day by day on the radio here. These are all because of the Jews. God has taken this nation of Israel, called them into existence. They were the fewest of people, he said, but he called them because of his love for them. You see, it's God's choice. God chose Israel, and God will give Israel its land in days to come, whenever that is. I don't know. He's got to come back, and there's a number of things that have to happen in the tribulation period and so forth, but God will give Israel all of her rightful possessions, which he had promised to them. But Paul is saying here, we're workers together with him, and he's wanting these Corinthians to get off their duffs, if you please. You see, they were arguing about all kinds of things. Paul's my kind of guy. Peter's mine. And they'd go on and Apollos, and they argued about who was the best of the preachers. Oh, we have that today. I am such a great preacher, you know, and so forth and so on. The ministry isn't about who's a good preacher. The ministry is about ministering the Word of God and drawing people to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, I've known men that I remember one fellow had him in my church, and honestly, he could not preach. He could not. I've told different people I think maybe if the bag was torn open, he could have got out of a bag. I mean, but he just didn't have. But I want to tell you something. That guy had such a heart for souls. I remember I said, you know, he said he wanted to go to the mission field. And I'll guarantee you one thing. Had he been able to do it, see, he didn't have the talents of preaching. But if he'd have gone to the mission field as he should have and he wanted to, and it wasn't his fault, people just didn't support him, he and his family. But, you know, he would have gone, I guarantee you, he'd have been a preacher. I guarantee you after that 4 years that he'd been on the field, he'd have been back home on deputation, you wouldn't have known him. I know that would have happened. He was a good friend of mine for many years. I've lost track of him now the last couple of years. But I always felt that there was a man that should have been on the field. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. He knew how the Lord was leading him. And he just never got there. And you know, I grieve about that many times. I think about that and think, boy, we the churches failed that young man. And I believe, he wanted to go and he wanted to do all help the pastor or the missionary, because the missionary was trying to translate the scriptures. He said, I want to go and relieve him of all that I possibly can. I want to help him. They had a facility there. They needed somebody to keep the generator operating and just a whole lot of things that he could do. And he would do that. And I'll guarantee you he would have been a church planter before he ever quit in the ministry. But the Lord didn't allow it, and he got involved in Christian work and stayed right faithful doing the menial task. But I'll guarantee you there'll be a great reward for that young man. And that man, he's older now, I mean, certainly. But what I'm saying is God wants to use people. We ought to be open to that in the church. You know, there may be those that God is going to call that he wants them to go and do this. I remember one fellow that was going to go, and he was going to be a maintenance man. Well, he was quite the charismatic type guy, and I don't mean the doctrine of, but he really could project himself, and people would really appreciate him. And I remember he built a particular truck so that it could travel on those rough roads and not be destroyed. And in Central Africa, and he went over there and he started working as the second man in there. Next thing you know, he was being sent out to plant churches, and he was a church planter before his first term was up. Well, you see, that's what God can do. Take people where their abilities lie and develop that ability and then transform it into what he might want beyond that. But this guy still was a maintenance man, and I could give you testimonies of some others that how God worked. But I want you to see something here. I want you to think about, and I'm going to give you the references to what we call the Great Commission. I know there's arguments about this, whether or not this is for the church. Well, my friend, it's in the Bible. This is not something that was centered into the Jews. It was given to those disciples. It was the last message our Lord Jesus Christ gave. And I believe the one time, according to Paul to the Corinthians, it was given over 500 people. And he said, of whom the most part are still here. And so it was not just all Jews. Those were Gentiles as well. But let me give you those five references that I want you to think about. We ought to be reconciled to God to do his work. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Mark 16 and verse 15, Luke 24, 46 to 49, John 20, 21, Acts 1, verse 8. Now, I could give you a lot of other scriptures. I want you to read those. I want you to study those and see how God wants to use you, me, each believer, to do this one important job of turning men and women attention toward the Lord Jesus Christ and thus bring them to know Christ as their personal Savior. We can't do it. The Holy Spirit must do it. But he wants to use you and me. God bless you, my friend. If we can be of help to you, contact us at WOT@WOTBM.org or Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. Father, speak to hearts, save souls, lead us to do the job that we're supposed to do, reconciling men and women to Christ through the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.